with us today. Anne Vandersteel will be joining us in a few moments. Many of you guys know she's an independent journalist, but I want to talk to her about biometrics, specifically what's happening with Discord. Discord's going to be doing this new age verification thing. They're going to be asking for your biometrics. It's quite fascinating, folks. It's what we've been talking about for a very long time now. This is going to be a major, major issue with a lot of these companies looking to grab your biometrics. What do they do with it? Well, we got a lot of questions on that front, and we'll be joining us for that. And we'll also be joining us to discuss the latest regarding, obviously, Jeffrey Epstein, the files that have been dumped out lately. And we'll be talking about what's going on in the UK as well, because Palantir was brought up yesterday during their UK parliament. I guess it's like a hearing. It had to do with Keir Starmer. Obviously, there's calls for his resignation. So we'll be talking about that, because there was an interesting meeting that was brought up during that, and I want to make sure that we talk about that in regards to the Palantir. We'll be doing that in a little bit. Folks, we're going to be taking your calls, too, as well throughout the rest of the show. 877-789-2539 is the number you're going to want to call. Again, that's 877-789-2539. That is the number to call in and join the show. We'll be diving in and out of calls, of course, for this next, I guess I'd say like an hour of the program. So if you want to join the program, do just that. Give us a call, 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. It's the number to call. There's a lot going on all around the country, too, to buckle in on. We'll bring you the latest on the MAHA movement, because there's a lot happening there. I was very happy to hear about RFK calling out all the nonsense, specifically the nonsense that's going on right now with what's in our food. What's in our food? He's specifically going over, though, the fact that our adversaries are trying to poison us through our food. And so we'll play that clip for you in a bit as well. I want to play this clip for you. It's a good laugh. It's a good laugh. It's clip 9. And it's interesting because it has to do with the woman who's obviously a swatter, or squatter would be the term. Sorry. Squatter. But her lawyer is absolutely horrendous. And this gave me a good chuckle when I was watching this. This comes from a Sinclair affiliate in Baltimore. They put this package together where they confronted the individual who's accused of living in a multi-million dollar home. And her lawyer doesn't even deny it. Doesn't even deny it. Take a listen to clip 9.
Get out my face. Get
ma'am,
my face.
Why are you in a $2.5 million property?
After months of delays, Good was convicted on all counts on January 22nd, sentenced to 90 days in prison. Pollard continues to face extradition for multiple vehicle theft-related crimes in Pennsylvania. 11 days later, Good was released on appeal on February 2nd after posting a $5,000 cash bond. Activities at the house started again soon after her release. For days, a woman wearing similar shoes and green pants was seen moving in and out of the alleged Bethesda squatter home. We spoke with Alex Webster about his client.
Look, there's a question. It's really the number one question on everybody's mind. How would your client, Ms. Tamika Good, get inside a $2.3 million property?
Cut. I don't know if I can answer that. Allegedly. Can I cut?
We're rolling. We're rolling, my friend. Yeah.
All right, can you re-ask the question?
Sure, absolutely. So the number one question on everybody's mind is how your client, Ms. Tamika Good, got into a $2.3 million property.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ms. Good did her research. She found out that a certain property was under the control of a certain group. And that there was a title issue. Due to the title issue, she was able to assume the property under squatter's rights.
So in Maryland, there isn't a particular squatter right. Am I missing something?
Well, it's not a particular squatter's right, but it's known as squatter rights.
That's a really crappy attorney, folks. I mean, he's like a child. If you hire a man that looks like that, you better expect to get convicted on whatever they're accusing you of. Oh, man. Those damn squatters, folks. All right, folks, we got more happening in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. Anne Vandersteel joining the program in just a moment.
I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is forest green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back. Sitting here from Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today on this beautiful Tuesday morning. All right, we're going to be kicking off the second hour of the program. And if you want to join the show and talk about the news topics we've discussed either today or yesterday, the number is 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. That's the number you want to call into if you'd like to chat with us. Specifically me, though, and maybe my guys in the control room, too. You can talk to them as well. All right, folks, I want to talk about a story that I detailed briefly yesterday about. Discord is going to start using age verification programs. Now, what does that mean? Well, that usually means the biometric grab. Starting next month, they're going to have some new, according to them, it's like a teen by default policy that is starting in March. Will automatically apply age-appropriate restrictions to all accounts worldwide unless verified that they are adults. And that's the reason why they're looking to do just that. The age verification process itself is kind of like a, as many of you guys have probably seen it, because there's a lot of government servers that actually ask for this, where they ask for your facial, I guess your facial biometrics, and then they try to verify it with a government document as well. Now, obviously, as many of you guys know, I've been critical of Discord because I'm very concerned as to what's going on there. It's very clear that when we look at terror attacks happening here on the main, on the homeland itself, there's usually Discord connection, whether communications start there or people are being radicalized on Discord. So I understand that they have to do something to push back. But is a biometric grab really the answer for all of this? Joining me to discuss, Anne Vandersteel. She's obviously a good friend of mine, but also she's a very, very good war correspondent, and she's all in on all of things biometrics. And we're also going to talk a little Epstein with her as well. So it's an honor, of course, to have you back on the show, Anne. Thank you for being here. I wanted to get your take on this because we're watching as Discord now is doing what I think is something that we should, you know, kind of be a little happy about. They're trying to verify the ages of certain users, and they are being targeted online with pedophiles, obviously these kids who are utilizing it, and they're also being radicalized by, let's just say, agitators, whether they're abroad or here in the homeland or possibly working for a government. But We know that's a core issue with Discord, but now they're going to start doing the biometric age verification process starting next month. What's your reaction to that news?
You know, Brianna, this, you have to look at this thing in the bigger, broader picture, right? Mm-hmm. You know, since the Patriot Act, we have continually given away our constitutional freedoms, and we're supposedly exchanging them for more safety, but the world isn't getting safer. So by giving away your constitutional freedoms, your right to privacy, and using biometric data, which is being, you know, just absolutely consolidated into this massive global data set of information on everybody, it doesn't seem like we're getting the exchange that we would hope we would when they say, we just want to make sure that you're old enough. We want to make sure you're not a bad guy. We want to make sure we can stop terrorism. I mean, you know, let's just use January 6th as an example. We had biometric data on everybody. That's how they were able to determine who went in the Capitol, who didn't, who they wanted to target to arrest, who they didn't. And, you know, then we find out there was, you know, dozens of FBI undercover agents there that looks like they were the ones inciting the actual violence at the Capitol to drag people in to create the narrative. So this is a very slippery slope. And if you start to just give away your personal information and you don't know exactly what it's going to be used for, and then in hindsight, you look back and you recognize that is a giant trap to put you into a specific narrative to generate more global control, I have a real problem with that. It all depends on who has control of that data and how they apply it. And unfortunately, we live in a world where we're not a constitutional world. We're not even governed constitutionally here in the United States. We've thrown that out the window a long time ago when we instituted U.S. codes and these agencies going back to the 30s. And these agencies are for-profit entities, and they are beholden to the corporate special interests that we are now learning are foreign dominated into our own government. So all of this, you know, in a big global picture, Brianna, is a massive usurpation of our personally protected constitutional rights. I'm not in favor of it, frankly, not in this application.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the hard part in all of this, right? Because if it was just for the pure, we're just trying to keep kids safe on our platform, then
exactly.
A lot of people could be on board for that. But that's the problem, is it always starts off, like you mentioned, the Patriot Act. It always sounds innocent. It always sounds like it's going to benefit us for safety reasons, but it's never the case. I mean, Anne, how do we combat those that are trying to radicalize kids online or even target them? I mean, we're hearing about all these sextortion groups who are utilizing Discord. We also hear about these online predators. I know Alex Rosen is meeting individuals on Discord all the time when he's catching predators and going after them. How do we protect kids when they're utilizing these platforms to go after them?
Simply cut the income tax out completely. And I'll explain why I mean that. Since the income tax was introduced in 1913, it has done nothing but erode traditional family values. You've now put the parents in the position where both families have to work in order to provide food and roofs and clothing for their children. This has been a massive, should we say, usurpation of your freedom, your ability to pursue happiness. Because again, you can't survive off one family member's income anymore. Majoritively speaking, the middle class has been completely decimated by the income tax. So mom no longer is home to either homeschool the kids or be there when the children come home from school. You layer in the Department of Education and the indoctrination camps. These kids are being taught that they're no longer a boy or a girl. They're either or whatever they want to be that day, including a cat, a dog, using a litter box in the restrooms at public schools. The government has become so completely intrusive in our lives, Brianna. We cannot, we can't surrender any more freedom. We are now forced into a position where, like I said, mom and dad aren't there to raise the kids. We've subjugated the nanny state to raising our own children. This is hugely problematic. And again, going back into Discord and how this all applies, well, if mom and dad were home, or one of them was home, I should say, they would be able to monitor their child's activity online. And again, online space is the wild, wild west. You can go and find anything, including getting onto the dark web. And if your child ends up there, you know, this is unfortunately where they're going to get radicalized and they're going to be turned into potentially a child sex slave. They're going to run away from home because they think they've been taught online that their parents are oppressive. This is the kind of information indoctrination that the parents have lost complete control because they have no idea what's going on in the classrooms and the schools. Thanks to COVID, we got a peek into that. But then again, they're not home when the children get home. And kids are going to do what kids are going to do. They're going to explore and they're going to find these things and they're going to be indoctrinated and they're going to be radicalized. And this is, again, I blame this squarely on the fact that both mom and dad have to work. If one could stay home and do the heavy lifting of raising the children, and I know because I've done it, it's harder than going to an office and hanging out with your friends at the water cooler or being on the road in sales or flying around the world in a jet somewhere to meet with people. Staying home and raising the children is the most critical role that a parent has if you want to have a successful society. And frankly, we don't have one right now. Just go out anywhere into the public and look at the decay that you see around you with just the public, you know, the youth today. They don't even look like normal children anymore. Our society has literally gone off a cliff, and you can thank the federal government for all of it.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. And I love the fact that you're talking about moms staying at home or either parent, but mothers staying at home and raising their children. I mean, and when I was growing up, it was kind of, even in high school, it was told to us, like, you got to go to college. You got to get your career. It's a career, career, career. In New York, that's what they kind of drilled into the back of your heads. And although, like, right. My mom is a stay-at-home mom, I mean, I benefited off of that, obviously. But it's unfortunate to sit here and see parents trying to juggle work life, both parents, and while trying to raise a family. It can't work like that. And so I appreciate that angle from that perspective, of course. And I also want to ask you about biometrics, too, specifically, you know. Back, sure. This was maybe 2 years ago when I uncovered, you know, when you go through the airport, so many Americans see that TSA has that nice little sign up there that says that they're participating in this new program and it's volunteer. If you decide not to do it, you can. But if you do it, don't worry about it because we'll delete it right after you take your photo. Well, I uncovered the fact through going through documents that that wasn't the case, as many people probably assumed. They actually forward those images over to DHS. DHS stores a limited amount That's what they told me of those images. And they never explained when I asked, what is that limited amount? They never told me what it's, the specifics were. So although TSA deletes it, they're actually sending it over to DHS, who stores it. But like you said, this is a bigger, bigger issue. And we're seeing this all across the globe right now. We're all inching closer and closer to these digital IDs, these real IDs that they're doing. And they're trying to get us all on board with this. Is there still time to save the, not only our country, but others all around the world from this digital infrastructure that they're building?
Frankly, at this point, no, we've gone over the cliff. I mean, even Discord, right? When you're just going back, just backing up for a second, even Discord, while they're not supposedly collecting the biometric face data, they've got your voice data. They've got video data if you use the video call system. They've got your behavioral pattern data. They've got any sort of devices that you're using to connect into the server data. And then you stretch that back out to what you're talking about with DHS. I believe that those iPads that you stand in front of when you're standing in front of TSA was really sort of a soft introduction for the public to get comfortable with the idea of this. But make no bones about it. They've been collecting our data for years now. Anytime you're walking on a street in any city, driving in your car on any highway, walking through any shopping mall, I mean, everywhere you go, between the 5G networks and the video cameras everywhere, Brianna, they have your data. They've been storing it for a long time. And when you layer in Palantir and the massive, you know, data centers that they're using in these, so we say, fusion centers of data around the world and in our country, that data is already there. They're just now telling you that you're going to be signing up for this and that, oh, don't worry, we're not storing it. But just like with the Patriot Act, oh, don't worry, we're not monitoring you. What did Bill Benny teach us? They were listening to everything and they've been collecting everything. It was never targeted, just looking for the bad guys. This is literally the slippery slope into a complete track and trace world where the Minority Report, frankly, is going to be what we will be living in. Hollywood has been telling us this for a long time, Brianna. So, you know, this is highly disturbing as far as I'm concerned. If you want to travel around the world, you know, when I look at this from the biblical lens, you know, God placed us on this planet in different countries and different places. We have different languages, different cultures. We look different, but we're all created in his image. And people were nomadic. They were allowed to travel. And when there were bad people, the good people handle situations. We've gotten so far from it. We've now become so reliant on technology that we're having to exchange our God-given rights for the privilege of having access to going from one state to another or one country to another. And I don't believe, frankly, as far as humanity goes, that is what was intended. Humanity has always been able to take care of the bad guys. And now we are turning this completely over to a group of bad guys that we now know are nothing but complicit in facilitating child trafficking around the world and covering for pedophiles. So I just don't see the fair exchange in our civil rights at this point anymore.
Yeah, no, I'm on board for that. And I know you mentioned Palantir. It's interesting because yesterday I was watching in the UK. They were having a parliament hearing. And obviously there's the calls being made right now for the Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, to step down, given the fact that Peter Mandelson has been highly dumped on in the Epstein files. I mean, his name just continues to come up and that he was misleading the public and all of this. So it was interesting to hear the back and forth yesterday, but this clip in clip 10 really stood out to me. Take a listen.
The Prime Minister visited Palantir's head offices in Washington, D.C. in February 2025. Will the Chief Secretary confirm if Peter Mandelson advised the PM to visit Palantir, what the purpose of the visit was? Will the government publish details and minutes of the discussions that took place at this meeting? And will the government review all existing contracts with Palantir and suspend any further engagement with them until the investigations are completed?
Yeah. The Prime Minister engages with a whole host of businesses, whether in the United Kingdom or abroad. In relation to his question suggesting particular wrongdoing, as I said to my honourable friend earlier, we have powers under the Procurement Act to act on these issues if we must, and if evidence comes to light, then we reserve the right to do so.
And I'm going to kind of sign off on this because it's interesting how they make this connection. And obviously, these are just allegations that they're making, but they want to know more as to what the meeting with Palantir in Washington, D.C. was all about. And I think it's interesting that there might possibly be an Epstein tie to all of this.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Peter Mandelson has met with Epstein, and his relationship with Epstein was more than he originally let on to be. And so that has been problematic for him. But let's look at this in the terms of the context of global surveillance, Brianna, because Five Eyes is real. It's really Six Eyes plus other, you know, world, you know, internet, intel communities around that have been, you know, sharing information, sharing data, because, again, it comes back down to the global government surveillance state and the international bankers have been in control of the world for millennia, and it has grown exponentially. And now we're getting a look underneath or behind the curtain at the puppet masters and the role that Epstein has played in all of this. And while Peter Thiel will tell you that he's, you know, he's a libertarian and that he is totally against the track and trace surveillance state, all you have to do is look at all the different, you know, pieces that are coming together. For instance, money-wise, right? Epstein is now very closely tied into the development of Bitcoin. He's also, when you look at the Genius Act and the Clarity Act, that the Genius Act has already passed, but the Clarity Act is up now for going through committee and getting passed. That is going to be the death of what the independence that Bitcoin supposedly was providing people, where you don't know who the user is and so forth. But once the Clarity Act is passed, the government is now going to be able to track and trace and, you know, see exactly who's doing what. And so far, any of the transactions that you wanted to keep private will now go through a public ledger and therefore be tracked back to the IRS. And so there's no getting around this global cabal where the IRS, as you know, money goes in, but it never comes back into the United States. It goes directly to the IMF, into the international banking cabal. And it's simply just more fleecing of the American people here. So Keir Starmer talking with Peter Thiel, talking with Palantir, meeting with the folks in Washington, D.C., and you look at the track and trace, all of these layers and all of the government acts that they're passing right now are all designed to take control of not only your money, your privacy, and your ability to have any sense of independence from this massive global octopus that is literally choking the life out of everybody. And again, the intelligence communities, City of London, the bankers have all been working cohesively together. And I believe they have literally taken America and used us as the chattel for over 150 years to finance global operations of subversion, war, rebuilding, nation building, and then, of course, the colonial grab of everything, which is why Israel has been so critical in all of this, because they've weaponized a nation state that was formed in 1948 through Lord Rothschild. But the big problem I see with all of this is that they've used this anti-Semitism rants and so forth to hide behind what their true agenda is a weaponized intelligence community run by a globalist banking cabal, networking with a gentleman named Jeffrey Epstein, who has absolutely had his hands into every single scientific or medical technology around, which has been used to control America. And COVID, I believe, exposed so much of this because we finally got a look at the giganticness of this global apparatus. So I know I'm going kind of circuitously here, but this is such a bigger thing, Brianna, than just looking at a meeting. You've got to put it into context of the global machine that we're fighting right now. And frankly, what I'm concerned about is I don't see this administration recognizing that. In fact, I see them walking us into this digital prison right now, and I'm not understanding why President Trump hasn't spoken out about that, because day one, he showed us what he was doing when he had Larry Ellison and Sam Altman standing next to him in the White House on January 21st. That was a big red flag to me. And I think the bigger red flag is that we continue to, you know, network with these countries, particularly with Keir Starmer coming over to D.C. That is a big tell that the Five Eyes apparatus is going to continue to grow. We're going to share this Fusion Center data, and it's not going away.
Yeah, and we're going to keep our eye on this, Anne, because it's not going away anytime soon. And there's more happening in regards to Epstein even today. I mean, we were hearing of several hearings going on right now, so we're going to get to that in a little bit. But Anne, I want to thank you for joining us. You are an incredible independent journalist. Folks, give her a follow on X. Anne Vandersteel is where you could find her. We look forward to having you back on the show, Anne, so thank you.
Thank you, Brianna.
All right, guys, I want to jump to something that's happening right now on the Hill. Looks like Howard Lutnick is actually testifying right now, and he was asked about his relationship with Epstein. Let's take a listen.
You led people to believe that you had cut off all contact with Jeffrey Epstein after the 2005 encounter you and your wife had in his apartment. But as I'm sure you know, the Epstein files show a very different record of interaction. Why do the Epstein files show you coordinating a meeting and planning a visit with Jeffrey Epstein on his private island in December 2012?
Thank you for the question. I'm glad to be here to make it clear that I met Jeffrey Epstein when he moved, when I moved to a house next door to him in New York. And I met him then. Over the next 14 years, I met him two other times that I can recall. Two times. That is none for 6 years. So 6 years later, I met him. And then a year and a half after that, I met him, and never again. Probably the total, and you've seen all of these documents, of these millions and millions of documents, there may be 10 emails connecting me with him, probably about 10 emails connecting me with him over a 14-year period. I did not have any relationship with him. I barely had anything to do with that person. Okay?
Secretary Lutnick, I think you understand the root of concern here. It's the way you described very emphatically your first encounter with him in his apartment, said you were disgusted, would never have any contact with him again. Did you, in fact, make the visit to Jeffrey Epstein's private island?
I did have lunch with him as I was on a boat going across on a family vacation. My wife was with me, as were my four children and nannies. I had another couple with, they were there as well with their children, and we had lunch on the island. That is true, for an hour, and we left with all of my children, with my nannies and my wife all together. We were on family vacation. We were not apart. To suggest there was anything untoward about that in 2012, I don't recall why we did it, but
Mr. Secretary, again, as I said, there's not an indication that you yourself engaged in any wrongdoing with Jeffrey Epstein. It's the fact that you believe that you misled the country and the Congress based on your earlier statements, suggesting that you'd cut off all contact when, in fact, you had not. When you visited the private island, did you see anything inappropriate during that visit?
The only thing I saw with my wife and my children and the other couple and their children was staff who worked for Mr. Epstein on that island.
And you realize that, you know, this visit took place after he'd been convicted, right? I mean, you made a very big point of saying that you sensed that this was a bad person in 2005. And then, of course, in 2008, he was convicted of soliciting prostitution of a minor. And yet you went and had this trip and other interactions. Did you have a dinner in Epstein's New York City home in 2011?
No.
So the information that suggests that there was a dinner with Woody Allen and Woody Allen's spouse at the Epstein residence, that's there's nothing to that. Is that right?
I actually don't know what you're referring to. There was, look, I looked through the millions of documents for my name, just like everybody else. And what I found was there was a document that says that I had a meeting with him on in May, I think.
All right, I'm going to be stepping in on this one, folks. We got more press conferences happening all across the country. I'll be jumping in and out of those, plus taking your calls, 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539, the number you call.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue, yeah, the Methylene Blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's for good, me. Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones' picture is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him, and I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio, and 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you, because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us. We'll be taking your calls in this portion of the show, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. But there's a lot of press conferences, a lot of hearings going on right now. We want to keep you in the loop on. Chuck Schumer is expected to begin speaking any second now, and he's pushing forward a bill, which I'm sure he's going to try to manipulate because they don't actually care for sex trafficking victims. But he's introducing a bill that's supposed to remove the statute of limitation for sex trafficking crimes. We'll just listen in for a little bit on that front. But we did interrupt while Howard Lutnick was talking in his hearing right now, which is going on. Let's just listen in because he's explaining his relationship with Epstein and he's trying to clarify what he thinks is false information. So let's listen back in.
I looked through the millions of documents for my name, just like everybody else. And what I found was there was a document that says that I had a meeting with him in May, I think, for an hour at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Not dinner or otherwise, for an hour at 5 o'clock.
All right. There's also a reference to the fact that Epstein had expressed an interest in meeting your nanny. Do you know whether Jeffrey Epstein ever met with your Danny?
No, I saw that. I had no idea what that was about. It had nothing to do with me.
No interaction at all with him.
No, as far as I know, no.
Would you, Mr. Secretary, be willing to ensure that the file is complete to share with this committee and the Congress your own records, any records you have that relate to Jeffrey Epstein?
I will surely talk about that. I hadn't thought about that. I have nothing to hide. Absolutely nothing.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. So let's jump back in here. Again, obviously, this is a very uncomfortable moment for Howard. But let's get to some callers. I know Nathan in Michigan wants to talk about just that. So let's get to him first. Nathan, welcome to the show.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
I can, Nathan. Welcome.
Hey, good morning. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. I got to tell you, listening to Lutnick there, that is just, since when is it normal to go to people's private island that's convicted of being a pedophile? And to say, just like everybody else, I went through the files looking for my name. Your name shouldn't be in files about pedophiles. I don't care.
Nathan, you're like me. I'm just saying that out loud. Yes, it shouldn't be.
I'm just like, I'm blown away by this. And you know, I've been around all this with you guys for 20 years or better. And it just amazes me how you had the Sound of Freedom come out and all this exposure of all this pedophilia. And it just continually gets pushed down over and over by the powers that be. They're like, oh, don't look here. There's nothing to see. And it's like, you know, all these people are attacking Massey. And I'm just like, what are these people talking about? Like, this guy got a law passed to get these files out to prove. They're talking about eating kids. Like, hello, people. And it's like, you see these people like, oh, they're just waking up. And it's like, man, I've been saying this for years and y'all thought I was crazy. Like, what? Just, I don't know what to do. I don't know how. How are we ever going to advance the belief of there's true evil and there is a cabal of people that are just sick and evil and need to be destroyed? I just don't know how to get that across. I mean, what more do we need to do?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Nathan, you're not alone on any of this. And, you know, I want to hear your take, too, on this, because people are really upset with Thomas Massie right now for calling and bringing all of this back to the surface. And he's not letting up anytime soon, you know, just because some of the documents have been released. He's upset that a lot of the names have been redacted. Specifically, though, he's fired up about one of the CEO names that was just forced out of the DOJ, although the DOJ is claiming that they've since corrected the issue. But there's a lot of key players who had their names redacted who aren't victims. What do you make of all of this? Because we continue to sit back and watch, Nathan, as President Trump goes after Thomas Massie, who's been obviously the biggest pusher when it comes to putting the information out there all the time. What's your take on that?
It disgusts me how Trump behaves with Massie. Yeah. I voted for Trump every time. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's a pedophile. I don't think he's involved in it. There's really no evidence to base that assumption. I think that I don't understand why this is happening, if it's just like a pride thing where he just needs to attack him. I don't really know about that, but the DOJ, Pam Bondi, and we know they're all Democrat. Who was I listening to yesterday? And they're talking about how there's no such thing as if you're a real Republican conservative, you're right of the right. Mm-hmm. It is. We just are at that point where Democrats have kind of slid over to a Republican. Democrats are just completely far left. And it's like, and Massey's more of a conservative than Trump in a way, because he's willing to go after these evil key players. And I mean, I don't understand what, I think it's a lot of it to do with what he has around him, the people around him, like Todd Blanche. We know he was a Democrat prior. Why would we trust him? They all have this idea that they're sophisticated and there's certain things that we got to do and we can't let the people in power be harmed or nothing like, you know, and justice be done made of heaven's fault. Alex says that all the time, and it's true. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. If it's founded on evil, it must be destroyed. And even if things go bad for us, we need to take that hit in order to correct our society, because a society founded on evil is just evil. And And I don't know what to do with Trump on how he just attacks. And the redactions, I think that is exactly what the problem is that there are these deep state. Let's just call them what they are. You know, they're the deep state that has been controlling this for all these years. They redact the names. And I mean, what's going to happen? I mean, how are we going to get someone to actually investigate that? Because the FBI, they're useless. They're not worth nothing. I mean, we're busting pedophiles that are, you know, in drug rings. I got an FBI friend of mine. He goes to a church with me. And I asked him one time, and he said he went into a house and he rescued a child once. And he said that was the most horrific thing he ever dealt with. And I know these guys want to do that stuff. And it's the powerful. You have to cut the head off the snake. We can't just go for the low-hanging fruit here all the time. And so I don't know how to get Trump to do it, to get over the Thomas Massie thing. And, you know, and it amazes me. How come nobody attacks any of the other rhinos? Like, there are so many people that are in Lawler, for example. Why does everybody just leave that guy alone? He's a complete leftist. I mean, he's always going, he wants to give immigration out now. So I wish I had a good answer for you, but I'm not very happy with Trump on the whole Thomas Massie thing and the MTG thing and all that, because there's plenty of other rhinos that he could be attacking. And sometimes I think I don't like Trump's pride. Pride comes before the fall.
Yeah.
And I really get tired of that.
Yeah, you're not alone. The rest of us are on board with that, too. Nathan, thank you for calling in. We'll get to our next caller in a moment, though. I just saw that Chuck Schumer has walked up to the podium, so I want to make sure we get you to that right now. Let's take a listen.
Well, I want to begin, of course, by recognizing the Epstein survivors who are here today. Virginia Giuffre's family, who traveled here because they believe, as I do, that what happened to Virginia and to all the victims here today and throughout the world must finally lead to change. And all you have to do is look at the faces of these beautiful women and just have total, total empathy for what they've gone through, admiration for their courage, and anger about what happened to them. So, thank you. Today, we're here to do something simple and long overdue. Today I'm introducing Virginia's law, legislation to end statute of limitation barriers that have kept survivors of sexual violence from justice far too long, and to create new legal avenues to pursue justice, because justice should not expire. Justice should not expire. And because for survivors, healing does not run on a government clock. I'm also so proud to be joined by Congresswoman Teresa Ledger Fernandez, not just chairwoman of the Democratic Women's Caucus, but she's always been a fierce advocate for survivors and a partner in. She's a champion and a fighter, and that's what a bill like this requires, a fighter who will relentlessly push for the cause of justice. Justice. That's what we demand, justice. And here is World Without Expectation and Sigrid McCauley, whose work, along with the survivors, helped shape this legislation. We thank her. The bill exists. Why? Why does the bill exist? Because people refuse to accept silence as the end of the story. It's that simple. It cannot be when something this dastardly and this terrible and this heart-wrenching happens. For years, survivors of Epstein's abuse were ignored. They were doubted. They were silenced. They were dismissed. And even when the truth finally came out, even when the world finally listened, too many survivors were still told by the law, it's too late, your justice has expired. Not because the harm wasn't real, not because the abuse didn't happen, but because the system ran out the clock. When they were told, it's too late, your justice has expired, We aimed to change that. And that's what we're trying to do today. When you say the system ran out the clock, tough rocks, too bad, too late, that's not justice. That's a system that protects abusers by waiting survivors out. Our law, Virginia's law, changes that. It allows survivors to seek accountability when they're ready, when they're strong enough.
All right, let's step in on this because Chuck Schumer's full of you know what. Chuck Schumer's over here trying to say that there should be no statute of limitation on these types of claims. No, statute of limitation is for a reason. It's for defendants, too. You see, this is the problem here, right? Because any woman from 30 years ago could then say, make a claim against you at home and say, you know, he sex trafficked me 30 years ago. And now it's up to you to prove those claims are false. They will just sit there and throw anything at the wall and see if it sticks. And that's exactly what's going to happen here when you sit here and you open up this wormhole. They don't actually care about justice. That's the reason why Chuck Schumer is saying it now. If he truly cared about justice for these victims, he would have spoken out on their behalf 4 years ago, but he chose not to because, well, it wasn't politically convenient. And that's why you see him doing what he's doing now. He's riding the wave. The wave is the outrage that's going on right now, and rightfully so, of the millions of Americans who are going through the Epstein files and seeing what a monster he was himself and how our DOJ and our FBI ignored the claims of victims. When he's telling you that all these victims are looking for justice, but justice has expired on the government clock, that's garbage. That's garbage. So many sex crime victims turn to law enforcement for help, and law enforcement turns them away. We know that. That is factually true. And we also know that many of these women came forward to report these claims, and the government did nothing about it. So we're not going to sit here and shift over the blame. The government is who we could blame for all of this, and we all know why. Let's take Bill in Wisconsin. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Bill.
Hi. You know, last time I called in, you threw me in front, or you threw me there with right after Bongino. You had to put me through Bongino. This time, you put me through Schumer.
I know.
It's like,
what
oh,
are friends
man.
For?
You try to throw me off, but you know what? I did not hear one word that came out of his mouth. But what I did notice, Schumer got new glasses. Those are not strictly the reading glasses where he looks over the glasses at you. Somebody advised him, get a little bit bigger. They're almost round. He's getting to the round. He's almost there in little round glasses. Anyway, it's hard to go back, but you know what? The caller prior to me, Nathan, was that Nathan?
Mm-hmm, correct.
What a great caller. Mm-hmm. What a great caller. And he came in right after you played Lutnick, okay? Mm-hmm. Then Nathan had his great call. Then you throw me into Schumer. But here's the thing. Lutnick, Nathan, go back. Now, let's go off of Nathan's call. My next question is, why don't these people step down or step aside instantly? Like, we're say, why are you even in there? If you're even in there, boom, out. And his point, Lutnick, too, dude, you said, you know, it was after. You knew. They're not telling the truth. So why aren't they stepping down? Right now, you see a big acceleration going on. Normally, a lot of these people, if you look at even in Britain, aren't a lot of the people stepping down right away? Over there, boom, they're out, they're out, they're out, because they don't even want to get close to the scandal. Why are these people not stepping down? What's going on with this big acceleration with the AI, the data centers coming in everywhere? These people, that you can see, we've been saying this for how many years? They want to control every aspect of your life. And right now it's in front of people's eyes and they can see it. And people don't know how to comprehend that. Because when you see all these things they want to control, the Democrats are putting out a list because elections are coming up. All these new taxes are going to be put. You can't even make these taxes up. You're like, how do they dream these things up? They want to control every aspect of your life, the word every. And now you add in, I recently did a poll, or I'm still doing a poll about politics. Has politics become a grift? Has politics become a grift? Yes or no? It's like almost all yeses. You know, and I've heard some pretty important people say, and I agree with it, it's all corrupt, and we can all see it now. It's so plain in front of your very eyes that this is all corrupt at such high levels, and people are trying to comprehend this, right? Wow, I can't believe this is, it's hard to admit it. That's it. What do you think, Brianna?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's right in front of your own eyes. I mean, I think, Bill, you're right. It's frustrating, though. I mean, there are definitely the grifters in the world, for sure, too. But it's frustrating. I'm hitting my tipping point with all of this because I continue to show you things and say, look what we found. Isn't this crazy? And then
there's no criminal charges. Here's my final point about the grifted. Let's say politics is a grift, okay? Because it's become that. Hey, we're looking for some good people. So you know what else that means? People, oh yeah, politics has become a grift. It sure has. Everything downstream from that is a grift too. And like I said, this voter registration, that's a total grift. A lot of these things are grifts, okay? Go, if you don't know what grift means, go look up the term, have Grok tell you what it means. But that means if politics has become a grift, everything downstream from it is, unless you're people like you and me who call these people out, we're not grifting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, Bill, I think you're spot on, as always. And we appreciate you calling to the show. Thank you, my friend. We appreciate it. Let's turn to Mark in Missouri. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, all things considered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's on your mind?
I can't help but think of all of the religious connotations that are present in current events and, you know, Jesus's own words, all things done in the darkness will be brought to the light. And that's where we're at. It's being brought to the light. And, you know, Trump is in this impossible position. What is he supposed to do? I mean, he was not perfect. He was involved in all this whole group, and we don't know exactly what he did and what he didn't do, but he's clearly a different guy. I'll give him that. He's not that guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just wonder also, I mean, who is making the adrenochrome now? Because somebody is. There's a vacuum. I mean, we see these celebrities that are all, we see these pictures where they're not getting it. So, but they probably will. I mean, the cartel is going to step in.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Yeah. Well, Mark, we appreciate you calling in. Now, we're keeping our eye on a lot of things going on right now. So we appreciate you jumping in on that one. Let's get, because I want to kind of get to all the Epstein folks who are calling in right now first. Wild in Wisconsin, I want to get to you too, because I know you want to add on to all of that. So welcome to the show.
Hey, hi. Can you hear me okay, Brianna?
I can. Welcome back.
Yeah, I was wondering with, have you yourself searched any of the keywords in the Epstein documents? What were your favorite search items?
I don't really have any favorites, but I have been running. So a lot of stuff is circulating online, and I'm trying to vet it by putting it and plugging it in to make sure that they're authentically coming from the files itself. That's been one of the major issues here. I think sometimes they're trying to discredit individuals, and so they are putting out false information. So it's just made about me just plugging in some of those documents to see which ones are actually coming from the doc drop itself.
Have you heard the stuff that when they search prion as a keyword?
Mm-mm, I haven't heard that yet.
I'd recommend it, especially because it's in yours and InfoWars and Alex Jones's wheelhouse. If you search the keyword prion from the COVID saga, there's lots of documents regarding that. And there were conspiracy theories about Epstein's involvement with the coronavirus and rumors that some of the genetic material that was in the vaccine was from Epstein, which is absolutely terrifying. And then also people have been talking about the cannibalism stuff.
Yeah.
And the babies being eaten. But I think it's also important to note they're not just eating babies. They're eating regular people and women, too. You know, you don't just stop at babies, which is absolutely terrifying, you know. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's something that we can't allow in civilized society if there's cannibals going around, you know.
Yeah.
And I just think it's, you know, evidence in itself, along with, as you see, like current events with the Super Bowl, about how America has been attacked. Mm-hmm. It started before with terrorist attacks. They couldn't take us down economically. They couldn't take us down militarily. So they had to do attacks on our cultural infrastructure and on the infrastructure within the U.S., the schools, the hospitals, government. And this is all tied into similar to Midnight Climax. Have you ever heard of Midnight Climax?
I have not, no.
It was a CIA operation similar to MKUltra, Tangent, where they would use women and prostitutes to lure people in and get compromise on them, compromising materials. And then it was removed from the original data set, but it was also for making the Ubermensch. They were trying to make like the superhuman, a super gene line, a super soldier, by using women and drugs and all this stuff. And Epstein obviously is part of that, you know, tied into that. It's not just about getting compromising material on people. That's part of it. But there's also this genetic manipulation stuff and bioengineering stuff, which really we've only seen the tip of the iceberg. You know, they talk about Zorro Ranch like it was a ranch, but it was in some aspects even more terrifying than the island, because apparently they're doing clones, you know, and they're talking about clones and the releases and stuff. I just wish with these document releases that they would also be a little bit more organized. They're kind of like, it's kind of chaotic. You can't search them well. They're not in chronological order. Massey, God bless him, is talking about how there's not only blackout redactions, but whiteout redactions that he can't even see.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, we're in a process now of a majority of Americans waking up that we're under attack. What do you think?
Yeah, wild. I mean, I think we're all starting to wake up and realize what's going on here. I mean, we've known about this for quite some time, but yeah, no, I'm 100% on board with that. It's all really concerning, and going through it's going to take months and months and months to do. And it's frustrating to go through the documents itself too, because there's so many blank pages. There are so many pages that just aren't relevant, copies, duplicates. And so that's what we're trying to sift through, and we'll continue to do just that. So Wild, thank you for calling in. Folks, if you're on hold, stay put. We're going to be jumping in and out of hearings, taking calls as well into the next segment. In the meantime, though, if you're looking to save on some of your favorite supplements right now over at thealexjonesstore.com, we've got bundles set up, two key ones that you're going to want to get your hands on. 50% off when you package these things together. I'm talking like colostrum, methylene blue, and red. That's for the ultimate gut and brain bundle. That's on sale right now. Normally, all these items separately would cost you about $210, but when you bundle them together, you get it for less than $100 over at thealexjonesstore.com. You got to check it out before it's too late.
I'm jacked up on the methylene blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
It clears the brain fog, where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it, I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something, what a blessing.
I do subscribe to the methylene blue. I feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like you said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the ultimate methylene blue. Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Powered by methylene blue, ultra methylene blue at thealexjonesstore.com.